Well, if you make your way to Exodus chapter 40, and I pray this passage might be an encouragement to us in our final service here at Clay Elementary. I already cried once. I got an opportunity for our final time to share the gospel again with our janitor, Dennis. I hope he would come in here, but we're going to keep doing what we're doing, whether at Clay or at a new building. We're going to point people to Jesus, and we'll never forget that. So if Dennis comes, by the way, it won't be as a janitor. It'll be as somebody that wants to worship with us. Amen? Amen. Exodus chapter 40. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord. Filled the tabernacle. Dang it, I'm going to have someone read it. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they didn't set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all of the house of Israel throughout all of their journeys. So, major changes are coming to High Point Church. But as a church body, we're accustomed to changes, are we not? Sure, we've had changes of locations. We started in my home. Then we moved to the Holiday Inn Express. That's a picture of that. We moved to Willowbrook. There's a picture of our first service. Then we had to move to Grandview Elementary. There, I had to put Matt on there. Then we moved to Adventureland Inn a couple times. Then we had to move outside. Do you remember those services? There's a couple of those. Even just recently at Easter, we moved to the EMC Expo Center. And now to this very property we're going to go on next week. We moved where and when God wanted us to move. We have changed not just locations. We've changed services. We've had two services before. Those of you who remember at Adventureland, we did two services for Easter. And we're going to move to two services again. We've changed from two songs at the beginning to one song. We had two songs sometimes. Sometimes we had no songs. Thank you, Matt, for your flexibility. I love you, brother. Our kids' ministry has changed over 14 years. Even our logo has changed. So the way we do it now will not always be the way we do it. We ought to be used to changes. The Israelites needed to be challenged in the area of moving around. Changes. In our passage in Exodus chapter 40, before they would enter into the promised land, they would go through 40 years of moving, of changes. And Moses would give instructions of every time they gathered together, they would set up this tabernacle. Show a picture of that. Every single time they moved. And the question you might have, and maybe you've read it in scriptures, it tells us how often the Israelites had to move. You ready? Look at Numbers chapter 9. Sometimes the cloud was only there for a few days over the tabernacle. According to the command of the Lord, they remained in camp. Then, according to the command of the Lord, they set out. And sometimes the cloud remained from an evening until the morning. Well, that was a good rest. And when the cloud lifted in the morning, they set out. Or if it continued for a day and a night, when the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether it was 2 days, a month, or longer, some think maybe a year they stayed in a place, the cloud continued over the tabernacle, abiding there. The people of Israel remained in the camp and did not set out, but when it lifted, they set out. At the command of the Lord, they camped. At the command of the Lord, they set out. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by Moses. Consider verse 23. They kept the charge of the Lord. Underline that. Highlight that. Here's what that means. They remained faithful. No matter when God told them to change, they did it. They were faithful. With all of the moving they would do over the course of 40 years, they were learning. See, moving exposes where our trust is. We say, God's in control. Okay, then move. But I'm comfortable. For 40 years in the wilderness, they moved around until the time that God said, we're going to the promised land. But they weren't ready yet. So God moved them. The Israelites needed to learn dependence on God, and change does this. This was not just going to be a physical journey of moving a tabernacle to a different place. This was going to be a spiritual journey of trusting God when He makes you move. Are we ready for change? Are we ready to move? What does God teach us? What does He teach the Israelites about change? Daily, weekly, monthly, yearly? Well, I think there's two things we're going to address. The first thing that He taught Israel, what He teaches us, is it tests our faith and reliance on Him. How does God teach us through change? Well, it tests our faith and reliance on Him. This is a personal thing He does to the Israelites. You will set up this tabernacle, and sometimes for a day, sometimes for two, sometimes for a month, you will pick up and you will move. Do you trust me? Day after day, do you trust me? Because change will expose our trust. Moving from place to place with no advanced warning? Anybody like moving? I always tell brand new couples, they should move at least once in their life to see how strong their marriage is. Me and Laura moved like 8 times. I don't know if it helped, but I think so. These changes, these moves, they test our faith. And by the way, we should want such tests in faith. Psalm 26, verse 2 says this, "Prove me, O Lord, try me, test my heart." Hebrews chapter 11, in the hall of faith, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested." In the New Testament, James says this about tests. "For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." Peter would write to the church, "In this you rejoice," meaning your salvation, "through now, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold that perishes, though it being tested by fire, may be found as a result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." James, Peter, Paul would say this in 2 Corinthians, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight and glory." Do you like tests? So why the test? Why the move? Why the change? For Israel? For us? I think part of the problem is we think that we're in control. We don't want God leading us where we don't want to go. We want him taking us in places we think we should go, because we think we know more than an all-knowing God. God gave a pillar of fire by night and a cloud to show the Israelites he is present with them throughout the wilderness. When the cloud moved, they moved because they wanted to be in the presence of the Lord. The very tabernacle that they had to tear down, set up, that they had to move, by the way, it was all pointing to the Israelites' need and great dependence on a Savior. Every time they picked it up and moved it and set it back up, they were reminding themselves of their dependence on God and their need for a Savior. The door of this tabernacle had only one entrance. There is only one entrance to a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that is through his death, burial, and resurrection. That's why in the New Testament, Jesus says, "I am the door." When they set up the altar where the blood of the innocent lamb was shed, Jesus, the Lamb of God, would shed his blood for the forgiveness of sin. The showbread and the lights all within the tabernacle. Jesus himself said, "I am the bread." Jesus said, "I am the light." All of it, everything that they tore down and set up and moved was pointing to their need for a Savior, their dependence on God. High Point Church, we don't need a cloud. We don't need a pillar of fire. We don't even need a tabernacle. followers of Jesus Christ, when Jesus came to this earth, John writes that Jesus tabernacled with us. Look at John chapter 1. The Word became flesh and dwelt. It's the word for tabernacle. Everywhere a follower of Christ goes, he goes before us. For he tabernacles in us. We have God's presence now and wherever he leads us. So why changes then? Why changes for Israelites? Why the moves? Because it's going to test our faithfulness, our reliance on him. Do we trust him? Secondly, I see, what does God teach us through these changes? Number one, it tests our faith and reliance on him. Number two, it prepares our testimony to unbelievers. The Israelites moved from place to place so that when they entered the promised land, they would be ready to be a testimony to the unbelieving world. Remember last week we talked about Joshua, as Joshua would lead these Israelites into the promised land. I mean, they had learned their lesson. Now, there was still complaining going on, but they were learning to be dependent and trust the Lord. They were ready to go in the promised land. Remember what Joshua writes in Joshua 2? The unbelievers, here's the testimony. It says, as soon as we heard it, and this is Rahab talking, our hearts melted. That means the people of Jericho, one of the towns that God has told them to go in and take. And there was no spirit left in the people of Jericho. For the Lord your God, he is God. In the heavens above and on the earth below, these pagan unbelievers in Jericho and even Rahab, who becomes a follower of God because of the testimony of the God of Israel. Even Rahab is listed in the Hall of Faith. These tests that Israel had to go through, these moving and setting up and tearing down of the tabernacle and obeying God when he told them to go, not only was privately working in them to test their reliance, but it was publicly working out the testimony of a people that believed in God, that he was in control. So what's the people in this world see about our testimony? The changes that we go through personally as a church, what are they saying publicly to our community? By God's grace, our testimony will lead to more Rahabs coming to Christ. The Israelites moved from place to place so that they could be a public testimony to the people that were watching. We move, we change, we go through trials to strengthen our testimony to those who are watching. When we go through these trials, when we go through these tests, what's your testimony? Do people see in us, in you, a person that when change comes, I don't quit? We're moving again? We have to change again? I was comfortable right where we had it. Right what I was doing was so comfortable. Why are you messing it up? Israel was known for complaining. And God had to do some work in their lives. Listen to what Psalm 106 says. It says, they murmured. The word means to grumble. It means under your breath. Like, is that how people see you when change happens? Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses says, you murmured in your tents. You complained, God must hate us, making me change. This moving the Israelites did daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, served as a training ground during their time in the wilderness. You could always tell, by the way, for the Israelites, when they weren't in a good spot with the Lord, they complained more and more. We want bread! He gave them bread. You gave us too much bread. We want water! God gave them water. We want meat. We're sick of bread. He gave them meat. We're sick of the meat. Isn't God so gracious to listen to our complaints? Because he's trying to change us. The New Testament tells us in Romans about ingratitude. It's the testimony of an unbeliever. For although they knew God, they didn't honor him as God or give thanks to him. God's going to do a work in his church. He's going to make us go through changes to see how we respond. HPC, what kind of testimony do we want in our community? In our church, in our home, with our kids? Well, let's go through some changes and find out. Believe it or not, there are things in this building you will think that we need or don't need. We need this. We need that. The chance to complain will be no less, because it's always been a tool of Satan and unbelievers. Get them to complain. Get them to quit. Get them to say something that they hate about God's tools. You know the one thing we never have to worry about when it comes to change? Jesus will never change. Hebrews 13 says this. He says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Part of our testimony will be our response to change. And by the way, Jesus' first message was all about our need to change. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 says this, from the time that Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The word repent means to change your direction, to change the way you think. So who in this room needs to change? Well, the Bible tells us sinners do. So that means all of us. Jesus came to save those who are going the wrong way, that need a change of direction to repent. See, repentance isn't just a one and done thing you do to ask Jesus to save you from your sins. That has to be the first thing. But look what Acts chapter 3 says. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Follower of Jesus Christ, we are walking close to the Lord when we repent daily, when we change daily. And God is going to give us opportunities to do just that. Do you want the refreshing? Change exposes anger, frustrations. God's church is going to experience a lot of changes. God is moving us again. Maybe the Israelites complained when they had to pitch up that tent and move it again. So are we. Are you ready for change? Are you ready for the opportunities to change? Because they're coming. Because God is good to do that in our lives. So that's the application question. Are you ready to change? Moses, by the way, couldn't enter the tent of meeting as the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Remember it said that in Exodus chapter 40? He couldn't go into the presence of the Lord when the cloud was there. Why? Because ultimately it was to show us all that we cannot enter the presence of the Lord without perfection. And Moses wasn't perfect. And neither are we. So the first application I want is for some of you that are here. Are you ready for Jesus to save your life? Because you can't be in the presence of God without his work indwelling in you. Tabernacling in you. You that are here, that come to church, but are not yet part of his church. Jesus' desire is for you to change, to repent. Here's what you do. And maybe it would be the very thing that God would want in the last service at Clay Elementary. Might be the very beginning of your spiritual journey. Here's what you need to do. Ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to come into your life, to forgive you of your sins, and now to be the Lord of your life. Not because of your good works, but because of his good work on the cross is sufficient for you. Would today be the day of your salvation? Would you put your faith and trust in him today? Are you ready today? I pray that that would be the case. By the way, when Jesus does dwell in you, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, do you not know that now you're God's temple? The Spirit of God dwells in you until he calls you home. So that's the, are you ready for change, to someone here that doesn't yet know Christ. But to the follower of Christ, I ask you the same application question. Are you ready for change? This time will test us privately and publicly. Let's rely on him for all of the changes and let's move. But before we do that, let's pray and sing one final song. Would you stand with me? Gracious and Heavenly Father. We will move. We will change for your glory, so that we might point more people to you. Lord, I want to be ready. And I pray that your church would be ready for the changes. And that you would be glorified through it all. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people said, amen.